We talked for the first few sessions about the fact that God arranges the outside of our life in order to work on the inside of our life. And we dealt quite lengthily with how He uses marriage to do that. How He uses marriage to expose and reveal those things about our character and about our beliefs that He wants to change in order for us to become more like His Son, Jesus Christ. So we talked about a Christian couple that came into counseling and wanted the counselor to fix their marriage. And to this couple, fixing their marriage meant making this a pleasurable and enjoyable experience for the two people living together. That's what it means. And of course, that is a wonderful thing, an idea that of course God wants us to have a wonderful experience of marriage. But more than that, God wants us to have a godly experience of marriage. Whereas marriage is the tool that He uses to mold us into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. That's what we're working on this particular session, this particular discussion. And we looked at Ephesians chapter 5 and saw that the discussion of marriage that Paul gives us in Ephesians 5 is more part of a discussion about the Spirit and life in the Spirit and all that goes along with life in the Spirit and how marriage and family are expressions of this life in the Spirit. That he was not just trying to give good marital advice to these churches in Ephesians chapter 5. He was actually talking about life in the Spirit. And marriage is the arena in which this life of the Spirit is lived out. I would suggest to you that you cannot live out a Christian marriage without the Spirit. Now, you can live what's called divine establishment. I've grown up with some principles called divine establishment, the laws of divine establishment, and these happen to be freedom. Oh, we've got five. What do you call them now? We've got freedom, marriage, family, nations, employment. Yep. And these are basic principles of morality that God uses to maintain freedom and give freedom for the gospel in a nation. Well, you can live a moral marriage and live what people call a good marriage without it being a Christian marriage. You see, my heart for you is not just to have a moral marriage or even just a good marriage, but I want your marriage to reflect Jesus Christ. Christ in the church. That's what it's supposed to do. That's what we're after here. So let's see if we can't dig in here where we are. And we talked about the fact that it's easy and natural to look at things on the surface. We saw how Samuel did that. I had this page in my notes, which is pages of ice cream. And I'm not sure how they got in there. Is that actually on there? You don't know? Yeah. But now we're going to get into this page here, page 6, The Battle Within. And The Battle Within is a phrase that I've borrowed from several sources, but The Battle Within, I believe, is what God's doing in your life, in my life as a Christian. I think the battle within is all about Jesus Christ and His image and His character being formed in the life of the believer from the moment of our new birth until the point that we die here on this earth and go to heaven. During that phase of life that some of us call phase 2, the whole thing is about becoming like Christ. And what does it mean to become like Christ? And Rhonda keeps asking me, what does that mean to become like Christ? I'm probably not going to answer you, but sorry. You just have to. You got your dad there, honey. Probably get you an answer here. But, you know, the battle within is not about me getting the life that I want. See, most people think that the battle of life is about learning how to act and behave so that we can get God to give us the life that we want. And most of what you hear as Christianity is about learning how to behave in certain ways, obey God, trust God, do this, do that, give your money, witness, do things in a certain way so that God in turn will do things your way and give you the life you want. And that's just simply a false idea of the Christian life. And we carry, we use this idea in marriage. And this is a law idea. The book of Galatians is filled with this. The whole idea is if, just like in the book of Galatians, he talks about believing in Christ to be saved and being circumcised. So you had to believe the gospel and be circumcised. And if you did that, then God would bless you with salvation. Well, today, when you're in the marriage context of the Christian life in a law church, the church would say, if the wife fulfills her role and the husband fulfills his role, then God is going to bless that marriage because you fulfilled your duty. God will reward you. And I'm telling you, that's law. It's law. And God does not operate in our life off of law, off of rules. God has so arranged your marriage at this point in your life because it is at this point to be most advantageous to leverage you to become like Jesus Christ. You say, why is my marriage doing what it's doing right now? Because what God sees is that by allowing your marriage to be what it is, circumstantially what it is right now, this opens your heart to an intimate relationship with Him. See, this is what it's all about. It's about you and God. It's not about you and your partner. That's a secondary thing. God uses you and your partner to open up this relationship between you and Him. And until you understand that, and listen, I can hear half the hearts in here going, who cares what God wants out of this? It ain't about what God wants out of this. It's about what I want out of this. Now, I've come to a Christian marriage conference because I want to learn how to leverage God to give me what I want. God's already got everything He wants and He needs. What's this all about what God wants? Well, life is about what God wants. You're here because of what God wants. Listen, one of the great things about God is that He wanted you to live with Him forever, so He sent His Son to die for your sins, to be buried and raised from the dead. If God didn't want that, you and I wouldn't live that way. Well, once we begin to understand what God wants for marriage, okay, and that is to help us to become intimate with Him, then we can begin to use it properly and everything can fall into the priority system into the right place. For instance, if I do all the right things, I mean, if I try to put God first, if I put my wife second, if I put my kids third, if I give my money the right way, if I do everything right on my job, if I witness when I'm supposed to, I do all the right things. The idea is that God will bless me. So I'm doing all the right things, but for all the wrong reasons. With the wrong logic. So, listen. I don't know how many marriage books on marriage. And you pick up a book on marriage, it's going to take you to Ephesians 5, and it's going to read this thing on Ephesians 5, and it's going to tell you, just like I've told people for years, if you follow the prescription, you're going to have a healthy marriage. If you do all the right things, it's going to create a healthy marriage. I'm here to tell you, if you do all the right things for all the wrong reasons, you may have on the surface, on the outside, you may have, quote, a healthy marriage. But you're not going to have a godly marriage. You're not going to have a Christian marriage. You're not going to have an in-depth marriage. You're not going to be able to use the adversities of life to grow spiritually. I saw my father lose two children. One of them when my mother was alive. They actually lost two when she was alive, and they lost three. He lost three in all. And he was able to grow through all of them because of his relationship with the Lord. And so he did the right things, and he had the right reasoning in his heart. He was able to use that relationship with mother as part of his relationship with God to grow through these things. So, when you're operating off of the old way of life, this old way of life is a self-centered life. The self-centered life, and these are, we'll try to get to the notes here. We're motivated and driven by personal need, personal desire, and we try to find fulfillment through human relationships. You see, the great mystery is that without God, there is no happiness. Did you know if you had the greatest, most wonderful human marriage that ever was, that you were Romeo and Juliet or Mark Antony and Cleopatra? Listen, without God, that marriage would not be happy. Would not be happy. Self-centered beliefs and self-centered functioning cannot make us happy. But the self-centered system says, if I get what I want, I'll be happy. If I can avoid what I don't want, I can be happy. That's two, personal pain avoided. We want to take our life circumstances and make them to be what we want them to be. Listen, I've got a son. He's 19, almost 20. He's got a little girlfriend, and they're sweet together. They're good together. They're going to college. They both want careers. They want to be able to make X amount of dollars, and they don't want to get married before this is there, and then that's in the right place. And look, I salute all that. But they think if they get all their ducks in a row, that somehow that's going to make everything work for them. Listen, everything working for them has nothing to do with getting all those ducks in a row. It has to do with God. Pure and simple. It has to do with God. But, you know, you try to tell him, son, I'm glad you're going to school. I'm glad you got a good job. I'm glad you're training for this. I mean, you got a vision of your future. That's great. It won't take the place of God. Listen, it won't take the place of God in your marriage. Now, the new man way of life, the Christian way of life, is God-centered. This is where we attach our personal need and desire to Him instead of to people. I've had the most difficult time trying to keep Rhonda from attaching all of her happiness to me. I mean, she just can't help herself from just thinking that I'm it. That's a little commercial for y'all, just to give you a little break there. But listen, our need is for God. Our need is for God. Earlier, we were talking about having a relationship where you can share with each other the truth that you see in the other person's life. When I was a young person, I'll share some personal stuff. When I was a young person, my mother was a very unstable person, and she was kind of in and out of their marriage, and she was in and out of my home. She didn't offer a lot as a mom to her children. She was a good lady. She didn't drink or have affairs or things like that, but she just wasn't present. Well, that left a hole in my life, in my soul. And as I have been married and related with women throughout my life, they have pointed out to me that I am hungry for that attention. And Rhonda's pointed it out to me always so sweetly and nicely. Recently, she really has become very sweet and nice about showing me, honey, this is what happened. Why do you try to get attention? Well, I know what it is. It's this thing in me that keeps wanting to get attention that I didn't get. And yes, that's what that was. And the way that it's been pointed out is helping me. Listen, it's helping me. It's helped me since yesterday. Reattach my personal need to God instead of you or another woman. It's a wonderful thing to have a partner that is able to look at you and talk to you and tell you because they care about you and because they care about the Lord and in your marriage to be able to say, here's what I see. Here's what I see. And we talked about sharing that. That's something that we shared yesterday that she saw about my life, is she saw me reaching out, trying to get attention, trying to be funny. The real problem is I am really funny. And it's just that not many people know it. What are you going to do? If you're really funny, what are you going to do? Good. You got to, listen, the whole goal, this growing, is about taking our personal need and detaching it from people and reattaching it to God. And that's the whole spiritual life. First of all, the battle within is most of the time below the level of consciousness. Did you know that most of what you battle with in your life and most of what controls your behavior, you don't even know you're doing? It's below the level of your awareness. This thing that Rhonda pointed out to me, I saw that, I felt that, I sensed that there was something in me that was operating that was, it wasn't sinful, it just was inappropriate. But it was below the level of my awareness until somebody helped me see it. A lot of the behavior that goes on in your life is under the hood. It's under the hood. If you're going to deal with it, you got to pull over and open the hood up and deal with what's under the hood. Now, there's not a lot of folks that are willing to do that. And Christianity has to be taught in such a way that Hebrews 4:12, anybody know what that says? What does the Word of God reveal? Thoughts and intentions of the heart. So we're after. What does 1 Corinthians chapter 4 says? How does God reward us? Based on the motives of our hearts. See, that's what we're after here. And a lot of this is unconscious and subconscious and below the level of awareness. Now, the battle within that's actually going on in your life. Listen to me. If you don't listen to anything else I've said, listen to this. The battle that's going on in your life is not just about the things that you do and the things that you say. It's about the things that you have habitually done, said, felt, thought all through your life that have turned you into a person that automatically thinks and feels a certain way. This is what controls your life. It's what I call automatic thinking. whatever ideas you adopt and use becomes your automatic thinking. You do it over and over and over and over again. Just like this thing Rhonda pointed out to me, I've been doing it since I was a little boy. I've been doing it 50 years. Didn't realize that's what was going on until just yesterday she points it out. And I'm like, wow, now listen, I can have victory. I can see it working. I can stop it and go, that ain't from God. God didn't tell me to try to be funny to get attention from that woman over there. That ain't God. That's my flesh. That's my sin nature. That's my old way. The battle within is about putting that off and putting this on. Secondly, the battle within can only be discerned through the Spirit and the Word of God. Listen, this battle within is a spiritual battle, and it requires spiritual power. You can have a spiritual team of people around you. Let me tell you this. I've given my wife full privilege to say to me what needs to be said to help me grow. Just like we talked about earlier. Same for you. You see me, you see something in my life that needs to change? Then I need it said. I need it pointed out. Why would you not do that, Ed? If you really, really want to be like Christ and you're not just playing a game, you know, I'm going to look like the Christian. I'm going to look like a good Christian. But don't tell me anything. Don't point out any pride issues. Don't point out anything that I don't say. Don't point anything out to me. That's my privacy. Well, look, I don't have any privacy. I tell you what I got. I got Jesus Christ that I am responsible to represent. So I need help. I need your help. I need your help, Ernie. No, wait a minute, Ernie. I don't know. Maybe not. Ernie would be too honest with me. The Spirit will show you things that are going on under the level of a person's awareness for you to help them, or your own awareness so that the Spirit can help you. So that you can see yourself thinking and feeling and doing things that are hurting your marriage. That God is trying to open up for you to change in you to become more like Christ, and He's using your marriage to do it. Listen, since yesterday in my life, God has helped me to realign part of my need system attached to Him rather than humans through my wife's help. Now that's a help me. That's a help me right there. She's helping me grow. She's helping me grow. She's helping me see me where I can't see me. The Spirit empowers her. The Word of God gives her wisdom. Listen, the battle is focused on what we place as our first priority, our happiness. It's first priority in your life. What's your first priority? What's your first priority? You say it's God. And now you know what I say? You really want to know what I say? Bull. Maybe, for a moment, maybe a few. If you're a woman here with kids, it may be your kids. First priority. This growth, this battle within, takes you to a place where God really, really is your first priority. Listen, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Who's He married to? Who's He married to? God the Father. He's married. Fidelity, man. He said, whatever's, here's what I want. Here's what I feel. He said, this scares the crap out of me. This thing that's coming down. I said, but look, whatever you need me to do, I'm with you. See, that's first priority. Now, do you start out that way in the Christian life? Nah. You start out a baby. Just like me asking my kids to make me first priority. Yeah, right. Yep. Let me tell you what's first priority is their friends and their cell phone. I know how to, listen, we've learned how to get them to move. It's called iPhone. All right. This battle within. It goes after your priority system. Of course, this is a belief system. The old way, the old man, this battle within is about this self-centered system has believed that blessings equals happiness. Here's the big lie. Blessings, i.e. earthly material blessings, equals happiness. It's not true. Sure is easy to believe, though. Hard to get away from that one right there. Hard to get away from the idea that having what you think you need is what's going to give you happiness. Hard to get away from that. Sure is. You got to grow out of it. Whatever you believe in the past and habituate as a way of believing, thinking, and use it over and over again becomes your way of habitually thinking, like we said earlier. The new man, the God-centered way, believes that relationship with God is happiness. Listen, I've been saved 36 years. When am I ever going to believe that? Really, 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 really believe it? I mean, really believe it over everything. When am I really going to believe that it's God that is my happiness? I hope one day. I hope before I get out of here that is absolutely, totally true of me. That under the greatest of pressure, that I can let everything go and be like Jesus and go, I'm with you. Son, I'm going to have to put it on you. I'm going to have to put it on you, son. I'm going to have to put the hard. It's going to get hard. It's going to get hard. It's going to get hard. You know why a lot of people die in their older age? Suicide. You know why? They get sick. They don't want to face it. They don't want to deal with it. Happens every day. Happens all the time. People don't want to face up to it. Because life gets very, very difficult and very hard sometimes. But the battle within is the divine training. It's the program that is experienced in the soul of the believer. The battle within. So, what's God doing in your life? What's God doing with your marriage? I think marriage is about growth. I think marriage is about God revealing Himself to you and then through you. I think that's what Christian marriage is really, really about. And I think until you get to that point, as long as you keep expecting marriage to be something else, as long as you keep thinking it's going to be your happiness, and that somehow you can get it right and make it work so that it produces the happiness that you want, I think you're going to be struggling with it. Now, I really think you're going to be struggling, and you're going to be blaming your mate. You're going to be honest enough to go, you know, part of it's me, but it's really mostly her. Mostly her. About 60-40. Maybe 62,
You know?
It's about growth. It's about God trying to grow me and show me who I am. Well, that's all I really got to say. Like Forrest Gump. That's all I got to say about that. Father, to me, I think some really important things have been said this morning. I think some people heard some things that they hadn't heard before. I think they've maybe even given a new look at what you're doing in their life and why their marriage is the way it is. It's not what they thought. They thought it's because their partner was not doing their job. And in fact, they've learned that it was about you arranging things so that they could see themselves not doing the job. So we could all see ourselves. I can see me not doing the job. And when I see me not doing the job is Jesus. The job is being like Christ. And if I'm not doing the job and seeing I'm not doing the job, I can grow. I can see the real me. And I can become the real Christ. You've empowered us. You've enabled us and given us wisdom. Thank you for everyone that's come. We love you, Father. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen.